Boston, the greatest sports city in the world. Period. And this is Boston's home for the Bruins, Celtics, Patriots, and Revolution. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be outraged and shaking their fist this morning.
Happiness comes from feeling good about yourself.
Breaking the mold on sports radio in Boston.
Is that why I thought of Sesame Street?
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Five, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Matt, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hey, guys. This is about the whole 128 versus 95 debate. There's a huge fork just after you get past Saugus. What happens is 128 actually splits off and goes out towards Gloucester, and then there's a big split off where 95 actually continues. So there is a section of road where 95 and 128 are exactly the same road.
Okay, yeah. But it's still I-95 at that point.
Right, but it still becomes 128 and 95. It's just there's a...
No, I know.
...after Saugus.
Oh, no, I'm aware of that. But it's still I-95. I think it's just intentionally difficult to figure out. Like in Orlando, every street is orange. The name orange. And in orange breaks off here and there, mm-hmm. but ultimately you're always on orange. And in... Atlanta, everything's Peachtree.
Okay.
So there's Peachtree Place, Peachtree Way, Peachtree...
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Every town, every city,
not
every
like
state
that.
Has its own quirk.
But not a major highway. Then you know what? The federal government should demand that Massachusetts give the money back, pay for the freeway.
Give the money back? Back.
Yes,
because
the federal government...
It's 128 and 95?
Yes, because the government of the United States, not the government of Massachusetts, built the freeway system. And mm-hmm. if the people don't like it enough, they call it I-95. The people should give their money.
They're showing
back.
Massive disrespect to the country by calling it 128?
Listen, I just got cost
really?
A lot. Intercom just cost me a ton of money.
Oh,
so
okay.
I want everyone.
It's something else we're dealing with.
I want everyone
I understand, I
get
it.
Around that.
Okay.
All right, so Dan Roach... From WBC TV, you were out at the big OTA yesterday.
Yeah, big doings. There were 109 credentialed media, 23 television cameras.
Now, is it me or did Gronkowski look very thin?
He looked good.
Yeah, he's handsome, but he looked thin.
Not up top, though. He posed. When did he pose at his event? The one buzz, the mission, the haircut.
Okay.
One with the buzz off for kids cancer that they do at Gillette
right.
Every year. He raised his arms at one point and he looked jacked.
Okay.
Up top, but down low he does look skinnier. But he was moving. I thought he was comparable to like you could tell he was feeling good, like almost like a first class world class racehorse when you see them prancing on the track. That's how Gronk looked. He looked very, you know, very light, energetic, moving really well. I thought he they all did though. It was first day of having Brady back, too.
So he's just prancing about?
He looked good. He looked real good. He's happy and, you know, yeah.
All right. His lower half looking real nice?
Yeah.
All right. Well said, Roach.
I'm trying to describe it best to you, though, Fred, but he looked awesome. He did. He looked
I don't doubt it.
Good condition.
I don't doubt it. He's been to that Guerrero fella all offseason. Well, Bill Belichick talked to the media. Were you there?
I was within distance, but I didn't hear Bill because I was waiting for Tom and Gronk to come out. So
okay, we will get to that later. But Bill Belichick was asked about his relationship with Tom Brady, who did not show up until yesterday.
I feel like you and Tom are kind of in a good place right now and a good understanding of where each other sits.
I've always had a good relationship with Tom.
Now, do you believe that Dan Roach is that still a good relationship?
I think they're getting there. I think they're getting there, but I think it's been a journey, and I still don't know if it's resolved or when it will be resolved or what the best scenario that they resolve it in comes about.
And what up until when did you think it was?
I think it's been great. I think the only thing is this whole Alex Guerrero thing.
No. But when did you feel confident that Brady was going to show up to mandatory OTAs?
I thought, well, once Robert Kraft said it. What did Kraft say that? Was it last week or 10 days ago? Something
whatever,
like
at the owner's meetings in Atlanta.
Yep. I felt pretty confident then.
All right. Bill Belichick Again, Rob Gronkowski making his season debut yesterday, and here's what he had to say.
What about seeing Rob Gronkowski this morning? It was good to have him back here as well.
It's good to have all the players here.
All right. Well, Bill Belichick, an open book.
And then he stopped.
Right. Well, yesterday was a great day for America. Donald Trump, knowing that only Nick Foles was going to show up from the Philadelphia Eagles. And again, if I'm Nick Foles, God bless you. You know, you're raging against the machine. But if I'm Foles, you got to look at everyone in the eye in the locker room. But listen, stand up for your convictions. And then there was the fantastic military choir. And then Donald Trump did not know the words to God Bless America, and it was very odd. I don't know why he put himself in front of them, but I think he missed a golden opportunity to come off as a super patriot. It seemed a bit forced. I'm sure I'm alone in that opinion. But Bill Belichick, a huge Trump supporter, a man who wrote Trump a note right before the election, congratulating him on being such a fantastic person. No, he did.
I know that. I'm just remembering the speech, which I believe was in Manchester, New Hampshire, about 2 days before the election.
Yeah, and he read the Bill Belichick
note. I just remember that.
And apparently he was furious that Brady didn't show up to the White House when the Patriots won the Super Bowl. But here is Bill Belichick, asked if the anthem and if players would be fined.
Would any of the Patriots players be fined or punished if they kneel during the national anthem?
I don't think we're doing that today. We're in OTAs.
I was wondering if they will be fined.
Yeah, we're focused on today. We're focused on having a good practice today. That's what we're out here for. That's what we're going to concentrate on.
Yeah, don't get involved in that. It's funny that the NBA Finals, both teams have come out and said that they would not be doing it. And if you're Belichick, just say, yeah, I'd fine him. If only one guy said he would come, he'd be my favorite. If Hoyer came out and then he starts at quarterback. And the McCourties, the twins are out there. One's very good and one's very mediocre. And here is Bill Belichick.
Bill, as well as, you know, Devin, have you noticed any different dynamics with having his twin brother here with him?
It's hard to tell them apart. Got to take a second look. Yeah, they've been great. Devin's been great. Jason's been great. You know, they're both great workers. I have a great understanding of football. They're very instinctive, good team concepts, good teammates. Just have to look a little closer to make sure I'm talking to the right one if they're not in uniform. But we have two sets of twins, so it's doubly challenging.
Yeah, well, look for the one who's playing well, and that would tell you who's who. Did you see the McCourty twins? Are they like two peas in a pod, two twins?
Yeah, they are. I mean, I think you could tell them apart. If they walked in here, you would say, that's Devin and that's
Jason.
But
do they seem to have, are they always clinging together?
I didn't notice that, you know what I mean?
Well, maybe be more observant the next time.
I was watching Brady, Fred. That's all I did yesterday.
And he looked good.
Yeah.
He looked fantastic. All right, who's who? It's right there on the screen.
Oh, I think I know the answer. That's Devin on the right and Jason on the left.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. Should I say, wait, yeah, is it camera right? No, I think it's good, right?
Well, hopefully no one's watching us on television. They're all listening to us on the radio, so yes.
Yes.
I wouldn't worry about camera right.
Okay.
Is that something that goes on at WBZ television?
That's the lingo, you know, behind the scenes. You want me to move one step over? On camera, if I'm standing here, and the camera's there, they say, can you move a step to your right? You say camera right or to my right.
How long does it take to come up with 90 seconds worth of highlights?
Oh, here we go. You know, don't demean what I do, okay? You know, you come out here and all you do is complain. You complain about lost a bunch of money today. You think everyone wants to hear that?
Yeah.
Nobody does.
Of course. Yeah, well, who would? Who would care about losing that trick?
You're worried about 128.95.
Who would care about a down payment on a house? Imagine bringing that up.
Right.
Yes.
Your listeners don't care.
That's right. It's like dust in the wind to me. Yeah, that's
good. It's a drop in the bucket for you.
Of course. You know, I mean, I only worked my ass off for 12 years to make that money.
You're making Bitcoin.
That's right. And why not just give it away?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
It's not your fault that they we all parted ways.
Yeah, exactly. You know? I mean, why even think twice about it, quite frankly? It's just money that was taken from
can't
me.
Can't take it with you.
That's right. You can't take it with you. So why not just give it away?
So instead of four bedrooms, you have three, Fred, okay?
All right. Yeah, my house is palatial. It's really fantastic because I live in Massachusetts.
Yeah, where do you live?
I live in Newton.
Yeah, see? A whole other country.
Scram.
You live in Andover. What is that, riddled with poverty?
Yeah, there's rough areas.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
I don't go there, but there are rough areas.
Okay, so when your kids were growing up, did you have to give them the 411?
Stay out of that, yeah. Don't go to that road.
Yeah?
That's where they sell the drugs and stuff.
You know what? I'm thinking that's exactly what he said.
Absolutely.
That's verbatim. Harry, don't go to that road. That's where they sell the drugs and stuff.
You read the police logs and you're like, yeah, I'm not going there.
That's the conversation over dinner.
You would read the police logs?
Oh, yeah. Am I Andover Townsman? Don't you read your Newton Tab or whatever it is?
No.
Come on, Fred.
It might as well be put in my recycling.
Oh.
I've never taken it out of the bag.
Maybe you'd stop complaining more. Maybe you'd feel better about life if you started to read those things. Know your town.
If I read the Newton Tab, that would be like, so I could stop taking Paxil at that point.
Like, hey, little Jimmy Smith. Jimmy Smith, you know, got honors this month, you know, things like that.
Or it's going to be like people are using their leaf blowers too loud and make you even more depressed.
They might as well put the Newton Tab in my recycling. I know people that read it, though.
I read the Townsman, you know. Read the Trib, the Eagle Tribune all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Read my local sports. I love local sports. That's all part of it, Fred.
Even though your kids have long passed that.
I still follow them. I got coaches and friends that I know at Andover High and in the Merrimack Valley.
I saw that you and your daughter took in a Red Sox game.
Yeah. It was nice.
That was a nice picture.
Oh, thanks, Freddie.
You looked happy.
I was very happy.
It's nice that your daughter still will spend time with you.
Yeah, she does.
Despite the way you are.
You know what would make you feel better, Fred?
Is what if do you mean? You know, what about you? Do your kids want to spend time with you?
Nah.
No, look in the mirror and start to think about it.
No, right? my son will literally once like his elbow on me at all times. And you know what that is?
Fear.
Super annoying.
All right. I know what would fix this. I do. I know that what would fix this, Fred. If you went to a ball game with Dan Roach, I think it's time. You have been a little extra depressed recently. Obviously, the money's a part of this. I'm thinking that you've been very depressed.
Oh,
and this is a perfect way for you to turn that frown upside down.
I hope they take a bunch of your savings away and see how you react to it. That's right. I'm such a fool for caring about them taking a substantial amount of money from me. That's right. Apparently, I elected to do that, too, unbeknownst to me.
Well, worried about it on your own time. Tell them to drag the listeners through it.
That's right. Why talk about your life on the radio? It's a horrible
That's never
proposal.
Worked on this show.
I've
Absolutely
never
talking
not.
About his life.
Nope, I've never
it
done it
really
either.
Hasn't worked at all. It's
Absolutely
all private.
Not. That's right. Homer Esiason is brought to you by Stormworks Roofing and Restoration.
Boom! Fred, take that in your V-neck guitars.
We all have our morning routine.
The kids ain't gonna learn nothing.
Thanks for making Toucher and Rich part of yours.
That's right, baby.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okie dokie, let's go. .5 the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. It's been a while. Rock and Roll Mike, hello. Rock and Roll Mike.
He went away.
Mm. Fell asleep, finally.
Rock and Roll Mike. Yeah, that's a dead end on that phone. So you said, you were saying that you were, Dan Roach was over at the OTAs yesterday, and you said... What was the description you had of Rob Gronkowski, that he was...
He looked like he was feeling good, like, you know...
But you described him physically.
Like a thoroughbred horse, you know, like a world-class champion horse. I grew up in horse racing, around horse racing, and so...
You did?
Yeah. My dad, actually, for a short period of time, owned a breeding farm down in Ocala. And
did you ever... Ocala's beautiful, by the way, if you love crap. And so, would you? Yeah,
it's about right on.
Yeah, my Aunt Betty lived there in a trailer. My sympathies. It was really something else. But she owned a horse. So, would you put them out to stud?
No,
did you ever put them in the mechanism that made them make the whoopee?
No. It wasn't that hands-on, Freddie.
But did you see that happened?
No.
So you would go down to Ocala and they wouldn't
I never went to the farm. They said we owned a farm. I never went.
You owned a farm and you never went down there?
No.
Are you positive you owned a farm or was your father getting prostitutes?
No.
It was a ranch of some sort.
In Ocala.
A breeding ranch.
Well, he said Ocala. Who knows where he was?
Right. Either that or bunny. He said horse. I thought he said horse.
He said horse.
It could have been bunnies.
That's right.
Knowing your family, it could have been bunnies. Yeah. That's true. Right, but no, we used to race them at Gulfstream Park down in Florida and then up here at Suffolk and Rockingham Park.
So he would drive them up here?
No, someone would drive them up, the horse thing, you know?
So you never went down to Ocala? He owned a horse farm.
I would go to Gulfstream, watch them race, but I would never go, you know, we'd go to the stables before the races or after the races and see them, but never off property.
How often did your father go down there?
Well, he lived down in Hollywood, you know, at the time.
Well, he must have been very wealthy.
No, he was a hit or miss guy, so
I was joking. That's a crappy area, too.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. Hollywood?
Well, it was right on the
that's where Nicole Smith died. Mm. Yeah, right there at the Indian casino there. She died. So, your father was in Hollywood, California. Did your parents divorce?
No, Hollywood, Florida.
Yeah, did your parents divorce?
No, my dad passed away, remember?
No, I know he's dead.
Mm.
But was your mom down there?
Yeah, they would live down there half the year.
Okay, all right. So half the year they were down there. Yeah. And so he would drive, because Hollywood is quite a distance from Ocala.
It's between Fort Lauderdale and Miami. Yeah, no. He would never, I don't know how many times he ever actually visited the farm.
So he just bought it and took people's word for it?
He was a partner in it and had a couple of horses bred, you know, that he named, that my family named and things like that. But that was it. It was quick. My dad was a, I think I've said this to you before.
An addict?
No, my dad, very young, early in his life, was up for a promotion or whatever, and it went to the vice president's son or something like that instead of him. And he said at that point, screw it. I'm just going to do my own. And he started his own businesses, and he would start them and sell them and start them and sell them. So it was always up or down, up or down, up or down. So
that's kind of the situation I had yesterday.
Yeah.
When I found out how much money Entercom screwed me out of.
Tell the listeners again. I really care. Come on, Fred.
All right, so you
I'm sorry that you did, you know, but you said it. Like, ever since I got in the car, I started driving. I know.
Well, it's on my mind.
Yeah, you know, really.
It weighs heavily on my head.
It's okay, Fred. Everything will be fine. You
really?
Have a great wife. Your kids are awesome.
How
you have
would
a good life. Because you talk about them all the time.
My kids?
Yeah.
I don't talk about my kids
that much. They do. Well, I know them about, you know, I know about them.
Uh-huh.
It's exciting summer coming up. You got a lot of dad time. It's cool. It'll be fun.
A lot of dad time.
Yeah.
Did you have to miss a lot of your children's childhoods because of your work?
Travel and stuff like that. It's, you know, good portion. But I was either at work or I was there. So I saw a lot of good things.
Was it Cats in the Cradle situation? Were you able to coach sports?
No. That was my one, you know, thing that ticked me off with time.
You can't get that time back.
No, thanks.
I mean, that ship has sailed.
Nor your money.
Yeah, but can you buy time?
No, see, that's you can't.
You
see,
can't.
That's why don't worry about
so
it.
So you could make more money.
I can't get that time back. And yes, it's one regret that I'll have the rest of my life.
Because you love sports.
I do.
And your kids were successful at sports.
They were good.
But and your daughter still is.
Mm.
But you
my daughter was named a captain. How about that?
As a
junior next year.
At
Babson.
Babson. And she plays two sports, right?
Field hockey and softball.
Which one was she a captain in?
She's going to be a captain next year of the softball team.
Oh,
she's a
congratulations.
Catcher. Thanks. It's pretty cool.
Absolutely it is.
It's all my daughter.
No, not joking about that. That
thanks.
Is impressive.
Yeah. So she was a three-sport captain at high school, and now she's got her first captain.
Do you think it's because you didn't coach her?
I think it's a huge contributor, yes.
Yeah.
She stopped listening to me a long time ago.
I'll tell you what, I am such a good coach.
Hey, are you really?
No.
Oh.
I don't care, so that's, I think, a
you're
positive.
Like, it was like, what, you know, like the Bad News Bears, that coach?
Enough that I don't drink
that's
beer.
That's definitely Fred.
I don't drink
no,
beer.
No, you don't bring a little cooler with you?
No, I don't. I'd love to, but I don't. No, I think that my, I am fairly indifferent about winning and losing. So I think the kids have actually commented. The older they get, the more they appreciate that.
Yeah.
It's because they'll see coaches that are going nuts, and right. they'll be like, what the hell's wrong with that guy? So the older they get, I think they appreciate more. And now I don't know. I'm not good enough a baseball coach to coach on my own. So
do you call signs from Miles pitching?
Yeah, he's a whole litany of pitches.
Throw a change here, kid.
Yeah, I just say,
he's a fastball changeup guy, right? That's it.
He doesn't know how to throw a changeup.
He will. It's just a circle change. We'll get Pedro in there to show you.
I know how to throw it. You just, what did you just call it?
The circle change?
Oh, yeah, okay. I thought you said a knuckle change. No, he's...
The knuckle curve, that's what Kimbrel throws.
I used to try to throw a knuckle curve, too, when I was in high school. But if he tried the circle change, that's going over the backstop.
Well, he's young, though, so he's just starting out.
Did you ever read the book The Arm?
Mm-mm.
It's by, I think it's by Passan.
Oh, yes, no. And I think I have it. I haven't read it.
He says the curveball is better for your arm than a fastball. And because always growing up is you don't teach anyone a curveball until they're, 12.
That's like David Weathers. Remember David Weathers is the pitcher? 18-year big leaguer.
No.
With like 9 different teams, Yankees, Blue Jays. His son just got drafted, top 10, I think number 7 by San Diego. And he said that his son was a fastball changeup guy until late. Then he just developed a curveball. So he's going down that road.
Well, the guy that went to Atlanta had the highest rotation rate on his curveball, higher than anyone in the major leagues. Danny Roach.
Nice.
Yeah. You didn't know that.
Mm-mm.
All right. Very quickly. Rock
Casey
and roll
Mize
Mike.
Guy from Detroit?
No.
From Auburn?
I don't know. Rock and roll. He's a high school kid. Rock and roll Mike. Hello.
Going on.
All right. What's up?
What are you doing? I'm hanging out with midgets and my space people. What's up, man?
So you're hanging out with midgets and space people?
Yeah, me and my midgets. We get a drink and we think, and that's what we gotta do. All kinds of crazy, crazy, crazy nights.
That is a Kiss song.
We gotta do to go to rock and roll to put it on the show. Come on!
Do you want to talk to Dan Roach?
Let's rock and roll! Yeah!
Do you want to talk to Dan Roach?
So West Down Street. Turn around 95. That's what I'm talking about.
You got Dan Roach on right here. Dan Roach is very similar to you. What do you got to say to him?
Oh, Dan, what you doing?
Hi, Rock and Roll Mike. How are you? Morning.
All right, good morning. God bless you.
What are you doing?
Right on. How you doing, Danny?
I'm good. How are you doing?
All right, I'm rocking around.
Nice.
Hanging and banging.
What do you got today? What's on the docket? What are you doing today?
I don't know. What are you doing? I'm trying to get my barbecue tour set up for the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Rock and Roll Mike, ask Dan about his father.
Hey, come on, Dan.
Yo.
Hot balls. Hot balls. That's the number one track.
All right. Well, thank you.
We're working on it. All right.
That's right. The Rock and Roll Mike.
And party every day.
Hey, Danny, hot balls.
He gets an extra 30 talking, seconds every time he references right. a Kiss song.
Talking Kimbrel and Sale now, are we? J.D. Martinez?
Every time he brings up a Kiss song, I give him 30 more seconds on the radio.
I understand that.
We have crazy nights!
The best was, Dennis, so what are you up to today?
Yeah.
And Mike goes, no, I don't know, Dan, what are you doing? It sounded like an invitation. I had this picture in my mind.
I got a cop. What am I doing? Trying to return some bottles to get my dope.
And he was just inviting Danny along.
Go to the methadone clinic.
All right, I'll meet you there.
That's right. What's methadone,
yeah.
Dan?
This, you know, the stuff. That's
What's methadone?
A drug.
What is methadone?
I don't know. It's a drug, right?
Why do people take methadone?
I don't know. Why?
Well done. All right. I'm glad you educated your children in such a good way. Jeff Howe will be joining us here in the headlines.
Hey, Pam.
Games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich. The Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich, Brady and Gronkowski make it to mandatory OTAs yesterday. Jeff Howe from theathletic.com, Patriots beat reporter. Hello, Jeff.
What's up, guys?
All right, so Dan Roach is here, and he compared Gronkowski to a stallion making his way on the field. His father has a big background in horse racing. Did you feel the same way? Was he stallion-esque when he ran onto the field?
Well, he said he likes to ride things, so I think he's more of the jockey.
There you go.
There you go. I'm sure there was no double entendre.
No. I'm a straight shooter. So, no, well, I mean, he was typical Gronk, the guy who has more fun than anybody on the field. I mean, he caught two passes. I mean, he caught more than two passes, but after two of his big catches, he started yelping like a crazed lunatic while high-stepping all the way to the end zone. And I mean, he caught one ball deep down the left sideline. He beat double coverage. And, I mean, it's rare when you hear the entire sideline of offensive players erupt as loudly as they do on a play like that at this time of year. So there was a lot of excitement there. After that eruption, there was, you know, one of his teammates screamed, "Welcome back." There was another catch that Gronk had, you know, one of those high steppers, when he kind of ran, circled back to the offensive sideline, started telling people he was going to take that one to the house. So he was typical Gronk.
All right, so he talked pretty openly about his considering retirement. What did you take away from that?
That he was being honest. I mean, this part of the storyline was never overblown or over-dramatized. Gronk legitimately did consider retirement. Now, was that for a week, or did it take all the way up until April 24th when he told Belichick that he was indeed coming back? I mean, I think it was probably on the shorter end of that spectrum, but those thoughts did exist toward the end of last season. And, I mean, when Gronk admitted it after the Super Bowl, that was honest, and he was honest again yesterday. That was something that he briefly did contemplate.
All right, so say that Gronkowski gets hurt this season. How confident are you that he comes back? I don't even know the scenario. But if he got hurt or something that didn't go his way.
Is this a yearly situation now? Is he going to evaluate at the end of every season and say, do I want to play or not play?
I mean, it's hard to say that he won't at this point because that contemplation was so fresh. Now, I mean, kind of circle back a bit. While he thought about it, I don't think he was ever seriously close to really, truly walking away. So, yeah, we can sit here and say he'll be year to year or whatever, but if the Patriots, you know, this contract extension that these sides are working on and will eventually put in place, now let's say that, or when I say contract extension, the reworked contract, I'm not sure if it will be an extension. Let's say that raise is more than just 2018. Let's say they give him a raise for 2019 as well. I think I would put that you would be able to take that as Gronk will probably finish out that contract, you know, if he gets a raise for both years. And then if Tom Brady plays again in 2019, then I think it's a safe bet that Gronk returns with him as well. So there are a couple signs where you can say, yeah, it probably, or there's a chance that it'll be year to year from now on. But again, if you look at the terms of the new deal, whenever it's finalized, and then you factor in Brady's future, again, I think that it's reasonable to believe that he's got at least 2 years to go.
All right, Dan was at the same things that you were at, but he can't articulate what he saw very well. Did you see Bill Belichick? What was the Bill Belichick's attitude? Did you see anything different about him when he was talking about Brady or Gronkowski?
No, I thought it was pretty standard stuff from Belichick in the sense that he didn't want to give anybody a quote or a soundbite that he could have used, that anybody could have taken and run with and sort of used as like the placeholder for any time this conversation comes up over the next 2 months. Because, yeah, Belichick's going to talk today and tomorrow and probably next Tuesday. But after that, you've got 6 weeks of nothing before training camp. So there's a lot of chance to kind of go back to this conversation and speculate and all that stuff. And again, I don't think Belichick wants to really single anybody out. I also think he wants to make sure that he doesn't play into the distraction element of all this. If he starts to fan the flames, then, you know, he's an active participant in the storyline that I don't think he wants to continue into this season. So this is something that he doesn't want to linger. As for the tenor of the actual practice, I mean, he was pretty typical out there on the field. There was one moment when, you know, Brady was trying to take the snap from Andrews, and a couple guys on the offense had a false start, and Belichick was pretty ticked and sent the entire offense on a lap. But I couldn't tell exactly who the culprit was or whose fault it was for the false start, whether it was on the center, quarterback exchange, whether it was under lineman who didn't know the snap count. And then in terms of, you know, Brady and Belichick, there weren't any noticeable interactions. You know, sometimes that's normal. I mean, it's an extremely small sample size, so maybe, you know, they had nothing to talk about yesterday, or maybe they just, you know, avoided each other, whatever. But every time Brady wasn't running the offense, he was basically kneeling or standing right next to Josh McDaniels.
Where do you think the Bill Brady relationship is, Jeff, and where is it going forward in your mind? And will Tom stay around next week, or do you think he'll just be at these three practices and then he's done?
Well, look, I can't be ashamed to admit, I don't know. I mean, the whole dynamic of this is, you know, there's some of it, I mean, there's just, we're still trying to find answers, and there's still, you know, we can take what they say on the surface with a grain of salt. I mean, there's clearly something going on. Obviously, not everything has been resolved. So there's, you know, there's such a great deal of the unknown here. But look, Belichick said all the right things yesterday, even if he didn't, you know, give us everything that we wanted to hear. He still said everything that he probably should have said to the media. I mean, Brady's not going to come out here and you know, start firing the cannons at his coach or anything like that. So, look, yeah, not everything's perfect. I don't know if everything will be perfect. I don't know. I mean, does it matter? Who knows? It's such an unknown, and I don't want to sit here and tell you everything's great. I don't want to sit here and tell you everything sucks, because I don't know the tenor of the negotiations, the conversations when Bill and Tom are like, in a private room, in a private setting in Gillette Stadium. Nobody does. So it's all just speculation, and there's so much gray area and middle ground. It's just, you know, it's tough for me to sit here and tell you that I have the exact answers. As for next week, nobody's really ever told me what the plan is for next week. All along it's been, hey, he'll be there for minicamp, and Gronk will be there for minicamp, and they never really mentioned the ninth week of OTAs.
All right. Do you think the problem with Brady and Belichick is exclusively, I know you said you don't really know, but in your opinion, is it exclusively about the Guerrero situation, or do you think there's more to it?
I think that was the tip of the iceberg last season. I mean, there was undoubtedly a disagreement, or, you know, they didn't see eye to eye with the way the Guerrero situation was handled. That's, I mean, obvious and well known at this point. And then I think when the ESPN story came out, I mean, we've talked about this in the past. I do believe that when that story came out, you had all parties involved reading it and wondering who the sources were, and kind of questioning, you know, does everybody in this locker room have my back, or everybody in this building have my back? So I think that kind of added to it, and I think that was part of the reason why Kraft wanted to make sure that meeting happens after the season. So there are layers to this.
All right. Well, Jeff Howe, read his writing at theathletic.com. We've been a fan of Jeff Howe since. Where were you writing when we first started talking to you?
Probably Nesson, right? Yeah, we met at the Super Bowl in Indianapolis at the Indy 500.
So we've been. That was actually, you know what's funny? Is that was the best one. Out of all the ones I've been to, that was the best one. It's funny, Indianapolis. But we've been down. What's that?
They put on a great show in Indy. They know how to do this thing.
Yeah, that was cool.
I mean, and you could walk everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. Downtown was maybe three blocks.
Unlike Phoenix, which was a dump, which is a stupid dump, horrible place that I would never live if you cut my arms off.
You liked it, huh?
That's a good theory. If you cut my arms off, I wouldn't live there. But if I had both arms, maybe. Jeff Howe, the Patriots beat reporter from theathletic.com. As always, Jeff, thank you for the time.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
See you, Jeff. We appreciate it. Well, Deion Sanders was on television, and every time he's on television, it's a fantastic adventure.
What could go wrong?
And we'll talk about that coming up not so far from now.
Toucher and Rich.
Hey, Pam. Larry Hill. Maddie at 5, the Sports Up. Dan Roach in for Rich Chertenlieb on this beautiful, what is it, Wednesday in the city? It's going to rain. Well, what do you got, Fred?
Yeah, you want a poem?
Hey!
No, you're really good at this. You could let that ride for 15 seconds.
Hey, you know what? I lost a bundle of cash last night, and I'm really ticked off.
Well, you're the other.
There goes my house.
We're
going to have a good house, a down payment for crying out loud. He can't get this whole thing right.
Dan, if what happened to you...
This company sucks.
If what happened to me...
Thanks for the call.
...happened to you, you would be despondent. You would be in the corner sucking your thumb. The way you bitch about that your wife won't let you buy anything.
It'll balance out, Fred. You'll be up, then you'll be down. You know, you'll be down, then you're up. Your money, it'll work.
Okay.
Trust me, it'll work.
Okay.
You'll get it back. You're wanted.
No, if Entercom signs us, I demand that money up front as a bonus.
Mm-hmm. Well, get it taken care of.
I will.
Whatever you need.
Big agent talk next week.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I was supposed to be in New York this weekend, but you know why I didn't go to New York? I was supposed to talk at this conference. You know why I didn't go?
Mm-mm.
Youth baseball.
Nice.
For love of the game.
Yeah. I love it.
It was more important to me.
Yes.
For love of the game.
You know what? Since I've started doing this show years and years ago, look at how far you've come.
It's all your influence.
You're blowing off a conference in New York to coach baseball. Attaboy.
If it was something that I was getting paid for, I would not have blown it off. But, you know, I'm a coach on the team, and yeah. I felt it's the playoffs. Yeah, that's right.
Throw a change here. Down and away. Attaboy.
That's right. You obviously are very familiar with 10-year-old baseball.
Crack a lack, boy.
But that's exactly it. As I said, I don't want to miss this. And I said, to hell with your conference.
You going to negotiate a wake-up call?
You know what's funny is that Lockhart calls me now, so it's above Bird.
Yeah.
But Lockhart, who's been with the show for 10 years and is a salaried employee with a 401k and health insurance, is perfectly... And I never even asked you to do it.
Just Mondays.
Mondays. Yeah. Boomer assigns him, though,
right.
Only Mondays. And so now Mike called from his own volition.
That's the kind of example Mike sets. Mike's, you know, Mike's one of the grinders.
I like that Mike is very important to the show and is salaried, and that it's not above him to call me. That whole thing was fascinating to me. How about how I shouldn't be?
That was fun to listen to, by the way.
Yeah, the management didn't see it the same way.
I'm just going to say, management said something really different than you
am
did.
Am I going to get in trouble then? I'm sorry.
No.
Yeah, you're in a lot of trouble.
No.
That's what's happening. By the way, download the 98.5, the Sports Hub app in the iTunes store or Google Play.
It is great.
It is.
When I'm on the road, I'll do a commercial. When I'm on the road and have nothing to do in the morning. Tune in for the 98.5 Sports
Nothing to do
app.
In the morning.
I listen to Rich and Fred.
Well, it's when you have nothing to do in the morning, as if it was so invasive to have a radio show on.
No. It keeps me company on the road.
That's right. So if you're in the car, if you're doing your morning
job. I'm in Cleveland and there's, you know, you don't want to leave your hotel room because you're in Cleveland. I'm just punching.
Applebee's is closed. I understand.
I understand.
But you could even, when you're having breakfast at Applebee's, you could even put it in your ears. It's better than the
BJ's Brewhouse. Went there a couple times in Cleveland. It's good.
Yeah, it's better than whatever ESPN has on. We were talking about that off the air.
Yes.
I don't no idea why they gave Greenberg any kind of money to do that show.
Just stayed right where he was.
All they had to do was read ads and not offend anyone. They didn't have to worry about ratings. They didn't have to worry about anything. Now he's humiliated, and they're going to talk about getting rid of it before the World Cup.
What are we doing now at 8?
Do a little Deion Sanders, if you don't mind, Danny Wall game.
I had a question. Oh, Undercover Boss?
Yeah.
All right.
Deion Sanders, Undercover Boss.
I like that show.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Do you fantasize about your boss coming down in a disguise? You hit him right there in the face?
That's right. Where's my scripts?
Yeah.
You know how it goes.
I got 60 seconds to fill.
That's right. Stopped him right in his tracks. You see that? He was happy. He was happy.
I need my script. Not. I have to talk for a full minute.
John Walsh got headlines. We'll be right back.
Yeah. Full minute. And by the way, it's all right here in highlights.
Oh.
Just like, hey, Tom Brady was out there at the OTAs today, and here he is completing a pass. I'm Dan Roach.
WBZ Sports.
That's right.
Steve? Oh, that was David. That's okay. Oh, yeah, you could do David and Lisa.
Yeah,
let's go back to you guys in the studio.
I'm a Bugs Bunny guy.
That was Kate Merrill.
Well, that, sorry. That was years ago when they allowed him to
riff a little. Where he had like 10 extra seconds to riff as opposed to strip the thing down like they've done to him.
Okay, no commercials here, just the headlines.
From the Town Fair Tire Studios, Boston's home for sports is WBZ FM and HD Boston 98.5, the Sports Hub, the Beasley Media Group Station.